Welcome to Crosswalk Talk Radio. We have another very unique program for you tonight. I am Carlotta Waldman, the author and founder of Crosswalk Life, Now Faith TV, Ministry Training School Online. I'm a prophet, seminar leader, and love to do restoration prayer ministry. We never offer the same old on this program, and tonight we're offering more cutting-edge information about ministry to others. This time it's not just about how to do healing or deliverance, but some of you are probably wondering, she's having another program about fallen angels or aliens or UFOs or what? Well, one thing I know is that doing deliverance for demonic oppression isn't all there is to it. See, part of my calling is to minister to people that have also been oppressed by fallen angels. In fact, I was talking with some today, and they understand clearly that they have been working for fallen angels all of their life. So we found out that alien abduction researchers were saying, at least the Christian ones were saying, you know, we think these are fallen angels. We think that the fallen angels are coming back like they did before. They're abducting people. They're traumatizing people. And whether people are actually taken somewhere or they just think they were, this is serious trauma. And we want to share with you more about it so that you'll know how to minister to people, because you may not know everything there is to know, like our guest Joe Jordan tonight, but you may have friends. You might be surprised if you'll bring this subject up. As soon as I brought it up, somebody said, oh, yeah, I have a relative. I have two relatives that were abducted by aliens. Now, they don't know the difference. They don't realize that they're liars and they're not aliens. They're fallen angels. But our SRA survivors, for instance, satanic ritual abuse survivors, can readily see this connection because they've been working for what some of them call cosmic powers all their life. So we want to help you understand this, what's going on, because literally millions of people are reporting having been abducted. And is it fallen angels? Is it aliens? Well, tonight we're going to hear more from Joe Jordan, who is a safety specialist at the Kennedy Space Center by profession. He's the president and co-founder of CE4 Research Group, an alien abduction investigation and research team based out of Cocoa, Florida. And Joe has been a Mutual UFO Network field investigator since 1992. He's been sharing his alien abduction investigation research findings through many radio shows, newspapers, magazine articles, DVDs, and lectures, and we're so privileged to have him. And his research findings on alien abductions have been written in 12 different books, authored books over the past decade, such as Alien Intrusion by Australian Christian researcher Gary Bates, Unholy Communion that we advertised on our program tonight by Dave Rufino, and recently published Final Events by English researcher Nick Redfern. I want you to know that he has spoken during 7 different Roswell UFO festivals in Roswell, New Mexico, and more recently, including the 60th anniversary conference in 2007, and then again in 2008, and CE4 Research Group has been the investigative arm of AlienResistance.org, a clearinghouse website covering the biblical view on the UFO phenomenon, now based also in Central Florida. So we welcome you to the program tonight, Joe. We are very honored to have you, and I want to encourage our callers, this is the night to call in with your questions. It's 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683. Welcome to the program, Joe. How are you?
I'm doing very good, and thank you. This is my honor to be on your show and be able to share with your listeners the work that I've done for the past 13, 14 years. And I think a lot of them are going to be a little surprised on what they hear. And I hope it opens the eyes of a lot of people out there that on what this subject and phenomenon is actually about.
Really? How did you first get interested in this?
Well, that's a neat question that I get asked a lot of times. And, you know, people wonder, how do you become what makes you become a UFO investigator or an alien abduction investigator? Mm-hmm. And actually, it was quite by chance. And I call it my open door experience. And in 1992, I was on a vacation trip to see my brother in Alaska, and I was flying out of Central Florida, Orlando Airport, and it was like a 10-hour flight. And I wanted something to read on the plane to pass the time, because 10 hours on a plane is awful grueling and can be awful boring. And I went to, you know, the kiosk there that they have where they have books and magazines, and started looking around to find something that would interest me and keep me occupied for a few hours. And I couldn't find a magazine that caught my attention that was interesting. I'm not really into sports or anything like that. So I moved over to the books and novels area. And I came across one particular book that looked like a science fiction book, because I was an avid science fiction reader in my growing up years, through high school and even afterwards. I love science fiction. It's a method of escapism. And, you know, you can go off into some part of fantasy for a period of time, you know, and then come back to reality and be back in normal life. And I looked at this one particular book that I picked up, and it looked like a science fiction book. But when I turned it over to read the synopsis on what the book was about, I was quite surprised, because even though it sounded and looked like a science fiction book, it was stating that it was based on actual research, scientific research and investigations. And that puzzled me, because I knew the fine line between fantasy and reality, science fiction and reality. I knew that line. I knew that there was a definite fine line there. And I had no problem seeing, you know, that it was definite. But this book blurred that line, because I didn't understand how it could look like a science fiction book but be called something of science research. And the title of that book was UFO Crash at Roswell. So that caught my attention. And I bought the book and I started reading it on the trip. And that book consumed me. I had to finish that book. And I finished it while I was on my vacation trip in my spare time in the evenings. And when I got back to Florida, it had piqued my interest and I had to know more. How was this possible? How was this line that I knew that was a definite fine line, you know, that you could tell the difference? How could it be blurred like this? Because I had no interest in UFOs at all. It wasn't something on my vocabulary. It wasn't something in my investigation or research of my personal time. It just wasn't something that I thought about. And this book brought it to my attention, and I wanted to know more. I'm an inquisitive type of guy. And that's what started me on this quest to find out what this was about.
Were you a Christian when you first started looking into this?
No, I wasn't. I would say that I was a secular humanist. I was working at a boat company, which I'd been at for quite a few years, and a hard worker in raising you know, my son, and my focus was on work and family and friendship, and, you know, and I didn't have any thoughts on a creator or a God of the universe. I mean, I was raised in public school through evolution. You know, we come from pond scum, you know, and we live our life and move, and we go from the dirt we come and to the dirt we go back to, you know, and that's kind of the way I believed, you know, and eat, drink, and be merry, and you know, live life to the fullest. And that was kind of the way I lived back then.
Actually, I think a lot of our listeners are probably that way. We have quite a mixed bag of listeners, so they'll be very interested to see, you know, what caused you to change your view on this. So, but back to the beginning, you know, what is this mutual UFO network that you belong to?
Well, the Mutual UFO Network is a grassroots organization. It's worldwide, and it has close to 5,000 members. And it's an investigative organization for looking into the UFO phenomenon. And what they're trying to do is find out what this phenomenon is about. They research and investigate reports, UFO reports, and they document the findings to try to find out what this is actually about. And they've been in an organization since 1969, and they have thousands upon thousands of investigations under their belt, and they're still looking for an answer to what this is about. I became involved with MUFON right in the beginning there as I started looking into this phenomenon when I got back from Alaska. I was introduced to some MUFON people over in the Orlando area. I live by the Kennedy Space Center, so they were about an hour away. And they showed me what MUFON was all about and saw my interest in research and investigation and wanting to learn the truth about what this was. And they showed me that I could be actually involved in actually doing that through this organization. So I went through the steps of joining the organization, getting trained up as a what they call a field investigator, which they go through a training and you spend some field time with you know, other researchers and field investigators to show you the ropes on how it's done. And then you get your field investigator status. And I thought that was great. You know, I'm actually going to be a UFO investigator. How cool is that? And then they saw that I was going to be doing very good at this. And being that I lived over on the coast, they told me that there was no organized chapter for MUFON in the county that I lived in. And they said, you know, if you want to take this on, you could be the head of your chapter over there, get a chapter started, get other field investigators trained up under you, and be ready to roll when calls come in that people make for sighting reports. And we could go out and follow up on the investigations ourselves in our area and get them documented and get them into the MUFON database. And that's where I headed. And I became a state section director for MUFON in 1994 for Brevard County, Florida, which is where the Space Center is located. And I put together a good handful of field investigators that were very excited about becoming involved, like myself. And we did follow up on investigations that came in through the, you know, the newspaper got calls, the sheriff's department got calls, and then we made ourselves available that they would pass that, you know, call on to us because they don't want to follow up on it. You know, they just write it off. But we let them know that we were interested in doing those investigations, and then they would pass them on to us, and we'd follow up. And we did that for quite a while.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I was talking to someone that works in the a police station that when we were there in Florida last month, and I asked them what they did, you know, when they got a call of someone reporting seeing a UFO or an alien or something. They said, oh, we, you know, we call the mental health people. That's not much help. They weren't even going to take a report on it. So I'm glad you are.
They don't have the capacity. They don't have the capacity to handle all of that.
Well, how did you get involved in not just UFO sightings, but in even looking into the alien abduction part of it?
Well, one of the things required as a state section director for MUFON was to set up and hold monthly meetings for the public and to help make them aware of what MUFON does and to educate them into the aspects and the phenomenon of UFOs. And we started doing that. I contacted a local library, and you can get a room at a local library, you know, at no charge, and you can schedule it, you know, on a monthly basis. And they have all the equipment you need to put together a nice meeting, you know, all your technical equipment, video, TV, DVD players, whatever you need, you know. So it was nice that I didn't have to put anything out of pocket to put these meetings together. Mm-hmm. And the library was, they were quite excited, you know, to have this group come in there. And as I started scheduling and holding the monthly meetings, you know, you can only imagine what kind of people show up when you advertise you're having a monthly UFO meeting at a library. You know, I tell you, there was some unique people start showing up. And they have some very unique stories. You know, and keeping in mind, when I first got into this, I was a nuts and bolts aspect investigator. I had to look at this from a scientific perspective, which is what MUFON does. And, you know, you had to show me the hard evidence. And as I was listening to these different stories that people were coming in with, they were just so bizarre and so different from being scientific nuts and bolts. And I had to step back and look at this and put this in perspective. And I go, you know, MUFON warned me that I would encounter these type of people and these type of stories. And they actually warned me not to be affiliated with it because it could not be proven scientifically, and it couldn't even really be observed scientifically. But, you know, these people were affected by this phenomenon. You know, they were having all sorts of experiences outside of the typical UFO sighting. Some were claiming to be in contact with extraterrestrials, you know, through telepathy or through some type of channeling. And then there were those that claimed to be abduction experiencers that claimed that they had been taken, you know, against their will, and, you know, at night, and had these experiences on board crafts. And then we also had those coming in there talking about all these fanciful stories, you know, that were dealing with borderline, you know, what I would call occultic practices. And I had to look and realize that even though this was really bizarre, it was really part of the phenomenon. And if I was going to be an honest, objective investigator, I couldn't turn these people off as part of the research. I had to include them, because if you're looking for answers to what this is all about, you have to look at all of the pieces of the puzzle. Otherwise, you're going to get a puzzle picture that's not complete, and you're not going to know truly what it's telling you. So I did start investigating these stories that these people were telling me, and once I realized what was happening here, listening to the abduction experiencers, I told my other investigators, I said, guys, you know, we've been looking and doing sighting reports for a couple of years now. And, you know, to me, sighting reports is like chasing your tail. You know, you're always showing up after the fact. And, you know, MUFON's been gathering thousands of sighting reports and, you know, investigations for over years now, decades now. And they still don't have an answer. But yet here we have a group of people coming in here and saying they are on frontline contact with entities who claim to be behind the UFO phenomenon. And I said, you know, logically looking at this, we need to be talking to those people, because they're closer to the source of the phenomenon than what we've been chasing after the fact UFO reports. So our focus became onto the abduction experiencers. And then we had to educate ourselves about the abduction experience. We consumed every piece of literature and DVD and VHS video of any of the talks that the top researchers had done already. You know, we wanted to make sure that we were prepared to work with these people and to be able to do honest research, which is what we were trained to do in the first place. Because something else we were seeing with these people is these people were traumatized. These people had been through an experience that had really turned their lives upside down. Mm-hmm. And it had not only destroyed their own lives, but it was destroying relationships, family relationships, because of the experience. Because these people couldn't share their experiences with people that had not had it, because they weren't accepted for what they were saying. You know, people believe they were kooks or going insane or, you know, right, or whatever. And they needed somebody to talk to. And they thought that because we were UFO investigators that we had answers for them. Well, we didn't have any answers for them. We were looking for those answers. And we let them know that, you know, we were going to do our best to be able to help them and explore this phenomenon in depth, because we felt that the answers to this were actually more involved in the abduction experience. And that's where we headed.
Well, and thank God you did, because I felt like all these years of researching UFOs and not talking to the people that experienced it, I mean, this doesn't make any sense. Joe, are you
there? The next thing I have to share with you is as we were working with these people, you know, I came into this as what I felt totally objective and open-minded researcher, you know, being that I didn't have any predetermined or, you know, ideas on the subject. But something that I also saw with these people that they're that were coming to the meeting and the people that were associated with this phenomenon, and there was another aspect that I had to look at. And there seemed to be a spiritual connection to this phenomenon. And I didn't understand that. I mean, I didn't have any basis in my life to understand spirituality. But I was seeing some type of spiritual connection with these people's stories and with these people's belief systems that was either part of this phenomenon or caused by this phenomenon. And it was another part of the research that I had to investigate. And I guess you would call this, you know, either New Age practices or metaphysics, because they seem to go hand in hand with this phenomenon. And seeing that this was so closely tied in, and as an inquisitive investigator and researcher, I actually started becoming involved in exploring and understanding what that was about. And I actually became a practitioner myself after a short period of time over the next 4 years, and actually became involved in the New Age belief system and involved in metaphysics myself.
Oh,
and
no.
Actually, to the point that where I was accepting of what was being taught there and actually sharing that with other people myself and bringing them into the to that belief system. And because I saw wholeheartedly that there was a connection here that, that needed to be looked at, needed to be accepted. So I started out, you know, as a agnostic humanist, you know, not believing in a God, not believing in anything spiritual, and looking at this UFO phenomenon. And I had an opportunity to look through those type of eyes. And then eventually I moved into being able to look at this from a New Age metaphysical perspective, also looking at the same phenomenon. And at the time that we formed CE4 Research Group, that is where I was at as we were studying this phenomenon.
And please tell our listeners what CE4 Research stands for.
CE4, we took the title. We didn't know what to call the group. And the reason we even had to give the group a title is because even though we were all MUFON investigators and trained in doing investigations, MUFON wasn't really set up at that time back in the mid-90s to investigate. They didn't have a format or you know, a structure to investigate abductions. And because they were focused on the scientific investigation of the nuts and bolts aspect of the phenomenon, looking for ground traces and videography and video and pictures and things like that. And so we were in a whole new groundbreaking area of research. And being that we couldn't represent MUFON through this research, we decided to put together a second group, but still maintain our MUFON status and still maintain the standards of research that MUFON set down as guidelines so that we would be accepted for what we're doing by MUFON down the road whenever they got to the point to where they could look more into the abduction experience. And that's when we formed CE4 Research Group. That was the title that we decided to name the group and work with from there. And CE4, that comes from Jack Vallée, the famous UFO researcher that put together the classifications of UFO sightings that are still being used today. There's a CE1, which is like a point of light in the sky, and then there's a CE2, where it leaves a ground trace effect. And then there's CE3, close encounter of the third kind. Close encounter is what the CE stands for. And most of us are familiar with close encounter of the third kind. That's contact. And we're familiar from Steven Spielberg's movie from a couple of decades ago that, you know, we grew up with. Well, CE4 is representative of the abduction experience. And that's what we titled the group, was CE4 Research Group, Close Encounter Fourth Kind Research Group. And that's what we've hung on to today.
Well, what did you find now? Did you find something different than the other researchers were reporting?
Well, not in the beginning. Everything that we were seeing was lining up with everything that we had read from the findings of the top, you know, abduction researchers in the world. We were seeing the same patterns, the same questions were being asked and not getting answered. You know, it's a very bizarre subject and very bizarre area to get into for research. It's very strange trying to find true answers. So in the beginning of our research, we were finding exactly the same thing that they were, nothing different. So we wanted to make sure that we stayed with this because we knew that somewhere in here there had to be an answer. And we just kept pursuing this, kept doing the investigations and the interviews with the different, you know, experiencers that were coming to us at our meetings. So we stayed focused and we just went through the process of doing the documentation and, you know, of the interviews for that period of time. But at the beginning, no, we weren't seeing anything different.
And then what?
Well, then something changed. In 1996, we had our hands full. That was a very busy year for us. 1996, we got involved with a number of things that were kind of running us ragged, trying to do our day jobs and do all of these things that we were involved in at the same time. It was kind of wearing us down. We were working with, you know, investigations with people that were claiming to have abductions. We were doing the interviews and working with them. And then we got involved in the end of the summer of 96. I was contacted by a group out of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California. And these guys, they found me on the Internet as a contact for MUFON, being state section director for Brevard County at the Kennedy Space Center. And they wanted to run this idea by me. And the idea was that these guys were involved with the whole idea of there being a face on Mars. And that was a little outside of my studies. But after listening to these guys and what their intentions were, I thought, you know, I can help these guys out. And what they wanted to do is, this was right at the time of us returning to Mars with the Mars Global Surveyor, which was a satellite that was going to go around the planet Mars, and it was going to photograph the surface of Mars for preparation of the rovers that were to come, looking for landing areas, and it was basically a satellite that was going to map the surface of Mars for the scientists. And it was going to be launched out of, you know, KSC, in November 4th was the actual launch, I do believe, of that year. And these guys at JPL were familiar with the mission itself on what this satellite was going to be photographing. And these guys were firm believers that the face on Mars was real, that the work that Richard Hoagland had done and, you know, exposing that there were monuments on Mars, that was the name of his book, that they wanted to see the new photographs. They wanted new photographs taken, because the photographs that they were basing all this on was from the Viking launches from 1976. And they wanted an opportunity to have these areas re-photographed to confirm that these things were actually made by beings. They weren't just natural phenomena. And, you know, I didn't really go along with all of that. It wasn't my focus of research, and I was, you know, kind of, you know, questioning all of that anyway. But I thought, what the heck? It's an opportunity to help these guys out and give us some recognition as a UFO group here on the coast by the Space Center. So what was planned was a simultaneous rally, one at JPL Gates, the entrance to JPL Jet Propulsion Laboratories in Pasadena, and another one at the entrance to the Space Center. And it was just a peaceful demonstration showing that our concern that we would like to have the area of Cydonia on Mars, which is where these so-called monuments in the face are, be re-photographed. I mean, we were taxpayers, and, you know, we were helped pay for this launch, and, you know, and the program. And we were just asking that you add Sidonia to the photographic docket for the mission. And we were out there, you know, the whole day, the signs and posters, the press came out. They did a nice article in the paper, gave us some coverage, you know, and it happened that way on both ends. So we were quite busy. And I actually had the opportunity to get Richard Hoagland scheduled here so he could do his talk and show people the importance of why they needed to get these pictures. And you know what? The day of the launch, we actually got confirmation from the people at NASA that Sidonia was being added to the docket. So, you know, with a little perseverance, you know, you can actually get things done. And I felt good about that. Whether I believed in it or not was a whole other thing. But we actually made something happen. You know, we got people to listen. And, you know, this is just like looking at tomorrow as voting day. You know, can you make a difference? I'll swear to it. You can make a difference. One person can make a difference. You know, so get out there. And that's important, and we did that. But it was a really busy time for us because we had a lot on our plate going on. And there was a couple cases we were working on that were really wearing us down. And there seemed to be something very dark about these two particular cases we were working on. And one of the girls that was working with us in our research, she happened to be my girlfriend at the time, and she was a professing Christian. And maybe not a fully practicing Christian, but a professing Christian. And she was recognizing something was wrong with what we were dealing with. You know, something dark and sinister was there, and she couldn't quite put her finger on it. And she pulled me aside one night, and she says, you know, I'm concerned about what you guys are involved with. And she says, you know, I really think that you guys need to have some protection in this field when you're working with these experiencers and the things that they're talking about, the things that they're experiencing. And I don't believe you have that covering right now, and I think you need it. And I said, well, you know, I've got all sorts of covering and protection. And I reached in my pocket and pulled out all my fancy gemstones, you know, and each one has its own power and ability and protection. She says, oh, no, no. She says, she used to put up with my New Age stuff. Mm. And she says, that's not the kind of protection I'm talking about. She says, I'm talking about true protection against forces that you might not be aware of. And I said, well, what do you got in mind? And she hands me a Bible, and she says, it's in here. And I said, oh, no. I said, that's got nothing to do with what I do. You know, I was rejecting that right away. And she says, I think it does, and I think we need to take a look at it if you'll give me a moment to show you. I said, no, 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 that's really got nothing to do with what I do.
Close
and she
mind.
Says, well, wait a minute. Yeah. And that's where I got caught, because I used to tell everybody, you and her, that I was the most open-minded, objective investigator there was. And she called me on that. And I said, okay, you got me. Show me what you got. And in the next few moments, she took me through the gospel message and showed me the power in the name and authority of Jesus Christ over anything sinister and dark and evil. And it was like the blinders came off my eyes and the earplugs came out of my ears, and I was just absolutely amazed. You know, I was raised in the church as a youngster, and I turned away from the church as a teenager for personal reasons, and just be lost for many years looking for the answers to what life was about. And it wasn't until that moment that I got to hear the gospel shared in a way that I don't think I'd ever heard it before. Or maybe I had, but it wasn't time. I wasn't at a point where I needed it wholeheartedly. And at that moment, that evening, I said, I want that protection. How do I get that? And she showed me, profess by mouth, believe with the heart, mind, and soul, profess by mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Master and your Savior, and repent of your sins. And everything came together so fast, and I became a believer that evening. Well, here I am, now a Christian, not knowing what a Christian is, but I wanted to know more, you know, and because I'm still an investigator. So I wanted to know right away, what am I now? Teach me now, what is a Christian? And that was the next thing that I went through. I went through a Bible study course that was very intense, very powerful. And it brought me up, you know, very fast into understanding what I was as a true Christian. And things changed from that point on.
Well, so how does this affect your research then? Can a researcher be a Christian? And, you know, how does that affect how you interpret what people are telling you?
Well, during that Bible study, I was shown something by the Lord. It was a 2-week intense Bible study course on video. And it was about halfway through the course. And I had one of my field investigators with me who was a Christian all along, but not understanding what this phenomenon was about. He went through the course with me also. And it was a friend of his that offered this course. So we watched the course in his friend's home, you know, for 14 days in December that I had off for, you know, for Christmas from work. Every night we'd go over and watch another video. And it was about halfway through when the guy that was teaching the video, he got to a point and used a term that he was going to talk about spiritual warfare. And I thought, wow, that sounds cool. You know, what's spiritual warfare? So we sat there and he gets into the study on the video about what spiritual warfare is and what's involved and where it comes from. And he read a scripture on the video, and I'm sitting there listening to this, and I didn't know scripture. And he read this scripture, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realm. And in a moment, I was shown something. I was shown what this was that we were involved with. I was shown exactly its true identity. And I said, stop that video. I've got to share with you guys what I've just experienced. And the Lord had shown me what we had been dealing with. And it wasn't what it said it was. It wasn't alien. It wasn't extraterrestrial. It was demonic in nature. Could I prove it? No. But I know what I know what I know at that moment. And I said, guys, I'm fully believing that this is from the Lord. I don't think we need to be involved in this UFO stuff anymore. I am going to step away from this at this moment. And my partner, that was one of my field investigators, he fully understood what I was saying and said, I'm in agreement with you. And he was my co-founder of CE4. And we agreed that we were done with this. Our focus was going to be on the Lord itself and his word, and we were going to step away from this UFO phenomenon as researchers, as investigators. We now knew what this was. Could we prove it? Not at that time. And a couple of weeks went by, and I got this small, still voice that was coming to me saying, you're not done. I'm going, oh, yeah, I am. I'm done. You know, and I thought, man, am I being tested here or what? And I didn't know, you know, as a new believer, I didn't know that, you know, talk back to God. Nobody told me that. You know, and I said, God is, you know, I'm done with this, you know. No, I'm done, you know. And then I thought, okay, that's good. I didn't hear anymore. And then a couple more weeks went by, and he said, you're not done with this. And I said, oh, yes, I am. And this is when I got frustrated, and I said, God, I can't take this message back to where I came from, because these people that I was involved with, the New Age metaphysical people, do not believe the Word of God to be the inerrant Word of God. I said, I can't share the Bible with them. They think it's written by guys that were on who knows what way back when that wrote all this stuff down. They don't see it as, you know, the actual word from the creator of the universe. And I said, I can't share that with them. You have to give me something more than that if you want me to take this back to these people. And I thought, okay, that took care of that. Well, here comes that still small voice again. You already have what it takes. And I thought, man, what is this? What do you mean I have what it takes to reach these people? How can I already have it? I don't even know what it is. So I went back and talked to my partner, Wes, and I said, Wes, you know, this is what I'm getting here. Is there something I'm missing? You know, he'd been a Christian quite some time, even though he didn't know the truth until just recently with me. I felt that he was more mature as a Christian and would be more understanding and could help me here. And he says, I don't know. And we agreed, and we said, well, if we already have this, let's go back and look what we have. And that's when we came across an interview that had been done 6 months prior to me coming to the truth, prior to my partner Wes coming to the truth. And it was a video that we had recorded of an interview with an experiencer, abduction experiencer, where during the interview and on this VHS tape that we had recorded, he stated that he had been able to stop an experience while it was happening.
Uh-huh.
And he told the whole story. But, you know, at that moment in time, we didn't hear a word he was saying. We were deafened to the message. And it wasn't until now that the Lord said, go back and look at what you have. You already have it. That we saw this recording. And we went back and talked to this gentleman. And he says, absolutely. You know, this is accurate. This is what I said. You know, and we knew at that moment that we had what it would take to reach these people. Not just the word of God, but the evidence of the word of God and the evidence of the name and authority of Jesus Christ that can stop these entities, which would show who these entities really are. Well, I still had some doubt, and I started getting a hold of the top researchers in the country on abductions and contacting them, calling them at home. They're people just like me. You know, they're nice people. I still know most of them and still talk to them. And I said, guys, I got a question here. I've got an interesting case. I don't know what to make of. And I'd like you to help me with this. You know, and they said, sure, tell us what you got. And I'd share the story with them. And then they'd all ask, can we go off the record? And I said, sure, we can go off the record. Just help me here. You know, and going off the record means I can tell you what they said, but I can't tell you who said it. Because if people come to me and they ask for anonymity, I have to respect that. And I've respected that for 15 years. And I'll still respect that. So I will stand on these guys', you know, request for anonymity. But I'm allowed to tell you what they said. And as I shared this story of this person who had had this experience, typical abduction experience, and then yet called out in the name and authority of Jesus Christ and stopped the experience while it was happening, they said, we've also come across similar cases. And I said, really? And I said, yes, we have. People that have sung hymns or said prayer or different manners like that, and the experience terminated. And I said, why is it that in all the research I've read that you guys have published, I've never read this or heard this? And why is it that you actually say that it's not possible to stop an experience? Why is this not being talked about? And the answer from each of them was, well, we didn't know what to make of it. Which I would have been fine with that answer. But that wasn't their only answer. The next answer out of them to go along with that was, we were afraid to go there because it might affect our credibility in the UFO realm. So they purposely withheld information, research findings, research information. That is what we call a cover-up.
That's not credibility.
That's not credibility. That's not bringing all the pieces of the puzzle to the table so that you have an honest picture of what you're looking at. So I told these guys, I said, you know, for whatever reason that you can't share this, you know, that's your issue. But I said, I've got nothing to lose here, and I see this as a piece of this UFO puzzle that needs to be shared and brought to the table. I said, I'm going to take this and run with it, because you've now confirmed to me that there are more testimonies of this out there, and I will go find those, and I will document this as needed. And they all agreed, please do, because we can't. And they never come across me, the people that I did talk to, they've never come against me in all these years as I've shared this research. The ones that I did not talk to, the ones that weren't familiar with what I was doing and what my intentions were of publishing this work, have come against me violently over the years and, you know, very vocal. So that's where we've headed, and I started gathering this information. We had the opportunity to get some major articles out there to the world. We actually had one of our first articles that went out there in our local paper within weeks made it all the way to a publication in the famous Flying Saucer Review magazine out of England, which was still active at the time. And, you know, at that time, you couldn't get any bigger than that. And here the whole article was put in there, exactly what we were doing. And I was going, thank you, Jesus, this thing's reached the world. It went all over the Internet. And then the testimonies started coming in. And that's what our mission has been, is to post these testimonies as evidence to what these entities really are. That they can be stopped in the name and authority of Jesus Christ.
We had a caller,
and I was set free.
I wanted you to be able to finish that story, and now the caller has withdrawn their little hand up that says, I want to talk. So I just want to encourage you, if you're still listening, please call right back, and we will take your call. I just had to let Joe finish that. I knew what was coming in that story. So that was received. It was published, and did you get a good response, or what did the people say?
Well, it caused a lot of stir in the UFO research community. They didn't like the connection of there being a Christian religious aspect to all of this. And they really didn't like us demonizing what they believed in, you know, that their belief in extraterrestrials and life on other planets and galaxies and whatever. They were really furious that we would even bring us publicly out there that these things that they felt was a possibility and their belief was actually, you know, something that was being demonized. So, yeah, we caught a lot of flack from the secular community. And, you know, we still do today to a point. You know, they don't like us putting a title to this. You know, they say that they're honest journalists and researchers and they want to keep it open, you know, but I brought this up at the 2008 conference. You know, people were talking about disclosure, you know, disclosure meaning that they want to get the government to announce that we are not alone, that we are being visited. And I said, you know what? These people that I've worked with, these people with these testimonies that can testify that this name and authority of Jesus Christ overpowers these entities and they can gain their lives back. I said, these people have achieved disclosure. They know in their heart what this is. Their lives have been returned to normal through a relationship with Jesus Christ. They've defeated this experience through that name and authority. They have achieved their disclosure. To them, they've gotten the answer to what this is. But you guys want to deny them of their disclosure. You want disclosure to be what you want it to be. And I said, that's not fair. You know, and that just made them furious. You know, they don't realize that disclosure can actually be something totally different than what they're expecting it to be.
Well, that's how it is. If naming the name of Jesus can cause an abduction to stop, then there's definitely a spiritual aspect to it. I mean, what else
there
can
is.
It be?
And it's not just that it can be stopped while it's happening. You know, this with most people who have had this experience, and, you know, the polls have shown over the years that there's upwards to, you know, a couple million people that have possibly gone through this experience or still having this experience just in this country alone. You know, some of your listeners are going, why do I even need to pay attention to this stuff? Why is this important to me? because we're being bombarded by the media, by Hollywood, you know, and commercials. They make fun of it, but we're still being bombarded with the idea that there must be life out there in that vast universe. It's so big that there must be something else out there. And if these people are having experiences like this, and it's the appearance of aliens, they must be from out there. And it makes you question. And when you question without being able to get true answers and having a guidebook to give you those true answers, which is the Bible itself, your standard as a believer, then you're going to be constantly opening a door for answers that you know not the source from. And that you must be careful of.
We have a question in the chat room that I think is really pertinent, Joe, if you want to take it, that there's a question on what's the difference between these fallen angels and demons.
Well, we've looked at this over the years, and in our research, we do feel that what we're dealing with here are angelic beings, what is termed the hosts of heaven. We know that there is a hierarchy of the demonic realm. As I read that in Ephesians 6:12, principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realm. That's describing a hierarchy. So we know that there are ranking of demonic entities. And we're seeing that in this paranormal realm. We know that there are demons, and we know that demons have a tendency to want to possess. Okay, and you know they're disembodied spirits that are looking to possess, and we see that all through history, but we don't see that in this particular realm of research in the UFO realm. What we're seeing here are deceptive entities, where the motive is to deceive in a very dramatic fashion, and what I believe we're dealing with here is the scripture that refers to as the strong delusion, you know, that would be allowed to happen. And I think that's what we're dealing with here is delusion, deception and delusion. These entities, the abilities that they show are mirroring what we see the abilities of God's angels in the Bible show. Their abilities to manifest into physical form to bring messages. We know that they can do that. We don't see demons having that ability. They're in a more or less an esoteric form. But these entities, they have the abilities that mirror angels. But the message that comes from these entities has to be looked at as part of the evidence also. And the communication that comes through these abduction or contact experiences with these so-called alien entities, the message that they bring, that they're evangelizing humanity with, is that God isn't real, it isn't who we think he is, that Jesus Christ is one of the space brothers, that they made us, that, you know, they're our creators, you know, everything against the Bible, the Christian Bible, you know, it's anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-creation. That's their message. And why would alien entities come across vast distances just to preach that message when there are so many other belief systems in the world that don't even agree with each other, except that they are also anti-Christ? That's the only thing that they are all in agreement on. So these entities, you know, that's a major red flag to hear this message being taught by these entities. And you have to look at that and going, why are they so angry with this message, with the Christian message? Could it be that it's actually real? And what we believe the purpose of this entire deception, this alien deception is to change our way of thinking, to take our mindset off of the one true creator God of the universe. That is their purpose. And people who become involved in this phenomenon or other paranormal activity, this is exactly what it does to them. There is a cosmic war happening, ladies and gentlemen. It's been going on since the beginning of time. There is a prize for the victor of that war. And that prize is your soul. So that's why this is important. That's why this is important to understand what this phenomenon is about before you choose to become involved. Or if you are involved, to be able to come out of it, because your soul is at risk. And if you are a parent in a family with children, you are supposed to be the spiritual head of that family. Fathers out there, if you're listening, you're supposed to be the spiritual head of that household. If you're not grounded in God's word in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not keeping a godly spiritual covering over that family, and these children will be affected by this experience. This is why this message is important.
Well, and not only that, but this message, this doctrine of devils, not just demons, is affecting or causing, birthing whole religions. The Raelian religion, the ufology are all taking on this agenda to, for instance, it overlaps with the New World Order, that we've got to work together. Some people seem to think that the aliens are going to save us from pollution or whatever, you know, if we all bond together and cooperate with them. Others are, you know, they might say, oh, this is going to precipitate a planet crisis, and we all need to bond together in this New World Order in order to save our planet ourselves. But at any rate, there's this highly religious aspect to it, and I think that's why religious leaders, spiritual leaders, Christian leaders need to be involved, is because as long as the church is quiet, then as you were pointing out earlier, if the only place abductees can be heard, if the only religious source that's interested in even talking about this is one that is New Age or humanistic or agnostic, guess who wins? You know, it's time for the church to wake up and say, like you did, you know, God, is this really a dark presence that I'm experiencing here rather than just some high-tech alien ET from another planet? And if so, that is our territory. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:12 that there's all kinds of beings, hierarchies, levels in the second heavens. And this is our territory. This is our business. By the way, we have a caller. Shall I ask them what their question is, Joe?
Sure.
Okay. Area code 417, welcome to the program. Do you have a question?
Actually, I just had a comment. I think Joe already knows who I am.
Welcome,
but,
Joyce.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to say that I really do thank God that he led me to Joe, and I thank God for all of these guys that are out there doing the ministry that Joe is doing. They're all involved in this. And I thank God for them. And I thank God for bringing me to Joe, because if it had not been for him, I would not have heard the truth and would not have understood it. And I would have been just as lost as so many of these people out there who believe in this, because I was a believer in the UFO stuff. I was an abductee. I'm not any longer, thank God. Thank you. You know, because I know the truth. And so I think it's wonderful what you guys are doing. It's absolutely wonderful. Thank you, and please keep it up. There's so many people out there that really need to hear this.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Joyce.
Wonderful.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. And we want to welcome any other abductees, anyone else that has firsthand knowledge, or if you're a contactee, call in. Tell us what you believe. Do you believe it's ETs? Do you believe it's aliens? Is it fallen angels? What is it? At any rate, we know that everyone that has experienced things like this, that wants ministry, should have it. They should have healing for the trauma that it caused. They should have support and someone to listen to them. But if we can lead them to Jesus, all the much better, right, Joe?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's a powerful story that's available on my website through the DVDs that I've done over the years. That caller that just called in, that was Joyce Ahrens, and she doesn't mind me using her name. She's been one of my most powerful testimonies over the years. Her and her family were actually videoed by the Sightings Channel and the A&E Channel. And their story has been documented and aired on UFO shows about abductions for the past decade. Every year, the show still comes on, showing how this experience affected their entire family, not just Joyce and her husband, but her children and even their grandchildren, how this went through three generations. And I had the opportunity to witness to Joyce a few years ago and actually led her to Christ in my own living room. And she is free from the experience. She was able to share this with her family. Her husband recently passed away at the beginning of the year, and he came to the saving grace of Jesus Christ before he passed away, actually had another encounter before he passed away, and was able to rebuke these entities and put them in their place. And he was able to leave this earth with his testimony intact to be able to share with others. I recently, this July, at the UFO Festival conference we did in Roswell, her son, who was also caught up in this lie for so many years, came to Roswell and stood up as a testimony at the end of my talk with his mom, and I had the opportunity to baptize him in Roswell this year. And this family, one by one, is being set free from this experience. The grandchildren no longer talk about having the experiences. There's only one member of that family left that's still walking the fence, and we pray for her daily, you know, that she will come to the truth about this experience. I want to see this whole family healed, you know, that this generational curse that's been on them be broken. And it's a powerful testimony, and I hope that someday that the rest of the story can be told on public television, not just the same old that's been airing for 10 years about their experience, but about their freedom from this experience and the freedom from the terror and the bondage that comes with this experience. That I hope that someday we can share from the same family that they've been publicizing as the bad part of the experience.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People just don't realize how powerful the name of Jesus is to prevent more abductions, and what an incentive for abductees who, there's a question in the chat room, you know, what is an abductee? When someone reports having been abducted by aliens, whether they know it's fallen angels or not, then research groups like this, especially CE4 Research Group, is willing to take their story, to record it, to let them write them out. And, Joe, you might want to also let people know that on your website there's 74 such stories right now, that all it takes is the name of Jesus. Oh, we have another caller. We have another caller. Let's see. 111, welcome to the program. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, I do. I was wondering if you had speak to any psychics and kind of got their opinion.
Have I talked to psychics and got their opinion?
Yeah, or any type of medium or anything?
That's the question?
Yeah.
I have over the years, and you know, they have a predisposition on what they believe that this experience to be. And there are a number of those who believe that they are in contact with these cosmic entities. You know, at least they're one step farther out than most people are that believe that these entities are extraterrestrial, physical beings. They believe that they're more esoteric beings, you know, other dimensional, I should say, higher spiritual motives is what they believe usually. And they believe that a lot of their information comes from these type of contacts that enables them to be mediums or psychics. The problem is I take it back to, is they're unreliable. Okay, these entities, we have record of them over and over lying. The dates and times they give for different events never hold up, and that's been documented over the past 40 years of communication from these entities. You know, that psychics and mediums are, you know, at best 50-50 ability of being able to do anything, you know, accurately. And they have, you know, certain things that they might see that will alert them to things, but it's never specific information, never absolute, indirect, you know, who, what, where, when, and how journalism. That's never the message that comes through to a medium or a psychic. where if you look at messages that come from God's angels throughout Scripture, it's always been who, what, where, when, and how of journalism. It's been very specific on the message that they bring as messengers of God. But these entities that are not of God, the messages are never specific. They are very vague, and they're unreliable.
Okay, the reason why I ask is because I seen a UFO, and it was in 2004, and it was actually very close to me. It was probably only like two stories above me. I don't believe that I was abducted or anything, but it was a triangle-shaped UFO. I seen three large lights. I heard a light humming before I noticed it, and out of the blue, some guy appeared in a cop car, and this was literally out of the blue. I didn't see him drive up or anything, and he wasn't looking at me very friendly, so but I didn't know if it had anything to do with this UFO. I mean, I think it did, but, you know, I mean, at the time, I didn't know what to think. So I went to a few psychics to try to get their opinion, and more than a few. And I got different answers from every single one. And one of them even told me that they were my spirit guides.
If you allow them to be, they will. But they'll lead you down a very dirty road. And that's something you need to be aware of.
Yeah,
There's one spirit that we need to be following, and that's the Holy Spirit. And that's the one that has followed the Word of God to a specific, you know, and that's a standard that we can rely on. All prophecy that's been given through Scripture has been fulfilled to this point 100%. You know, and that's something that has to be looked at when you're looking at predictions or prophecy from, you know, a medium or a psychic. Look at their track record. You know, it's like I said, 50-50 at best, where you have the Word of God that's been 100% and can be relied on.
Yeah.
Why would you choose anything less than perfect?
Well, one of the ladies, she over here, she channels Orion, and I had talked to her, and she says he's a star being and, you know, all this stuff. And so I went to she teaches classes, I guess, on how to channel, and one of her little groups I went to, she wasn't there, it was just one of her groups her students, I guess, that she teaches, and I felt like they were completely defensive almost like the whole time, you know, and I would like ask them something, and I kind of felt like they were trying to like put me down, and it was a real awkward thing. And actually one of the psychics I went to, I was trying to tell her about some experience I had, and she was like, there's no God. And it kind of left me with a really weird impression, like, you know, there is something definitely weird going on, you know. Because, I mean, she basically tried to convince me, I mean, that there was no God. Because when I was younger, I had a really weird experience, almost kind of like a near-death experience. And I had actually one lady that I talked to that was an angel communicator, she told me that was real and all this stuff, you know. But it's funny that I ran into a couple of, well, more than a couple, actually, that kind of tried to disregard it, you know, and kind of got really weird with me. Like one lady made a comment about me keeping one eye on the spiritual world and one on the physical world. And, I mean, it wasn't like a nice comment. It was kind of like rude, like, you know, I don't know. I just got this completely weird impression. And I've been on this, like, search to find out kind of what's, you know, really going on, like, what was that UFO, and, you know, I don't know. So I had to call in and share that and ask, you know, your opinion on that, because, I mean, I've got different answers. I mean, psychics have told me so many different things. Some say that they're saviors, and, you know, I've gotten so many different, you know, so I know they're not right, because to get so many different responses, there's no way. And I've talked to a bunch of psychics, even some that are on the phone, you know, like phone psychics. And
sure.
So I know they're not getting,
you know,
this information.
One thing to be aware of is, as Christians, we are warned to test the spirits. And that's one thing that people don't seem to do. you know, you were almost to the point where you were getting ready to allow a spirit to enter your being and channel through you. You were getting to that point. And not knowing who this being is, not having proof of its true source. You know, if you're at home and somebody comes, a stranger comes and knocks on your door and wants to come in, you're going to question them to figure out who they are and who are you and why should I let you in? You're going to be very careful about letting a person, a stranger, into your home. But these people are so open to just letting anything come into their mind. And that's absolutely scary, that they have no true source of what this is, no answer, no identification. And there's no, and they really don't have a basis on how to judge them. Whereas Christians, we have a guidebook that gives us a standard on how to test these spirits. And if they're tested on asking them, who is Jesus Christ? Is he there, is he your Lord and Savior? They can't answer that it is if it isn't, okay? And if you rebuke them in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, they must leave if you are a believer and you, if you claim that authority. These are what these testimonies that I have are showing, that it doesn't matter what fascinating, seductive, tempting technology that these entities seem to show up with, that that simple name of Jesus Christ overpowers every idea of technology or ability that these entities have. They must back off and they must respond. I've got many a testimony where people have actually had visual encounters of UFOs, just like what you say you've had. I don't deny that you've seen something. I would never take that away from you. People do see things, but I've had believers that have had these experiences, and they call out in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you, you must be gone. And in an instant, these things disappear. Physical-looking objects in the sky causing whatever effects, you know they're there, but yet that name still makes them respond. And that must put up a red flag on who these entities really are. If they're such high spiritual motive entities, why respond to that name? If they say God isn't real, then why respond to that name? Because we are told that that name, every knee shall bow, above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth. And the testimonies prove that. I believe that these testimonies that I've been gathering, and I'm right up to about 95 on the website right now. I've worked with over 400 testimonies. I've gotten permission to put close to 100 of them on the website. I'm still working with more, and they're going to get posted. My question to the secular people are, how many does it take to, for you to understand that what I'm saying is real? And these testimonies are the most powerful evidence and probably the only evidence, true evidence in the world today that shows what these entities truly are. It truly takes the mask off of these entities. It shows the emperor in his real form, not his new clothes.
What is the website for that, Joe? If you could throw that out there, what's the website?
My website is www.ce4research.com. And I post that evidence freely. You know, I don't hold back. I don't wait for publication in a book. I put this out there. This was freely given to me to share the truth. And I freely give it, and I post this out there. You know, I told these researchers years ago that this is a piece of the puzzle that must be put on the table. You know, and I've actually referred to my research, and others have too, as the unwanted piece of the UFO puzzle. Because they're so afraid when I bring my piece to the table that it's going to change their preconceived notion of what the picture's supposed to look like. And I'm sorry for that, but let the chips fall where they may, you know. You can't just say, I don't want your piece on the table because you don't like it. You must bring all the pieces to the table. And when this piece is brought to the table, the picture does change.
Well, thank you for calling. That was wonderful. Did that help?
Yeah, thanks. Oh, yeah, completely did. And I just want to say is I agree, and, you know, I hope that you keep doing this because I do think something, you know, fishy is going on, and people are kind of praising ETs and stuff, and I'm not exactly sure, you know, that that's the right thing to do. So
what
I had
they're
to call
looking
in.
For, what they're looking for out there is they want their spirituality, but they want spirituality without accountability. They want to be able to do freely whatever they choose, but still call themselves spiritual. That's not spiritual. When you follow Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, there is accountability. You must be accountable for what you do. That's how morality works. That's what keeps us in check. That's what keeps us from being the beasts of the field. And that's why this is important. But see, these people don't want that. They want to be able to do all of the crazy things that they think that they enjoy, you know, the perversions that they're involved with. They want to be part of that. They don't want to give it up. But they also want to believe that they're spiritual at the same time.
Yeah.
We've got quite a discussion going on in the chat room about whether whether when you're abducted you really go anywhere or not. I understand there's a lot of controversy on that subject.
Well, my answer to that is in the research that I've done, I do not see any evidence of people actually being taken anywhere. Actually, in the research, I see evidence to counter that. I've had people that have been witnesses to a time when somebody is having an experience, and the people never really went anywhere. What I believe is happening here is that these entities have the ability to give us a visionary-type experience or even implant the memory into the mind. Okay, Paul talked about this in Scripture, that the battlefield is in the mind, and I truly believe that that's where this battlefield is. And these entities, keep in mind, they can still manifest physical objects. They can still manifest into the physical, if need be, to perpetuate this delusion. Okay, remember, this all goes back to the Scripture that talks about God will allow a strong delusion, will send a strong delusion, that if even the very elect would be deceived. That means this is going to be a delusion beyond our comprehension. And that's what we're seeing in this field of the UFO experience and the abduction experience. These people, most of the time, come to me saying, you know, I've had these dreams, and these dreams that I've had are similar to what is talked about in movies and TV shows about the abduction experience. And I believe this is what I've had. I don't deny that they've had the experience. To them, it's as real and it's as real to them as you and I speaking right now. Okay? I don't deny that the experience is that real to them. What I help them understand is the deception that's involved here. And the Holy Spirit will lead them to understand that they have been deceived, because the purpose of this deception is to take our minds off the one true God. It's to change our mindset. It's not as complicated as people want it to be. It's a simple experience that these entities are able to do. To them, it's simple. It's their ability that they have to be able to create this experience. We don't go anywhere physically. That goes against the physical laws of God set down for nature itself. We don't do that. We are physical beings. We cannot go to a spiritual place. Not now. But these entities are spiritual beings that have the ability to manifest into the physical. That is what the hosts of heaven's abilities are. Don't get it confused at thinking that it can go the other way. We don't have that ability. They cannot take us. They take us in the form of what we would call astral projection or astral travel or out-of-body experience. But the effect of that experience is so real to our memory that we can't distinguish whether it's a reality or a false memory. We don't know. It's that powerful of a deception. And that's what I hope to show these people, is that this is a deception. This is not a physical experience. People are being taken aboard ships. There are no ships. Those ships are manifestations, spiritual manifestations. Also,
can I just say,
perpetuate the illusion.
You know, I do believe that because I didn't see a ship like the triangle. I just seen the lights in the formation of a triangle. I didn't see no physical ship, you know. And I do think that it's weird that I didn't see anything if it was that close to me. I mean, because this thing was really close to me. So I do think, yeah, there's something, you know, to that.
And I do believe that you've put yourself in a position to where you're searching. And these entities know your thoughts. I mean, they don't read your mind, but they know that you've been looking. They know that you've been questioning because they're around us every day, okay? And they know you needed answers. You needed a sign. You needed confirmation. And I do believe that they gave you that confirmation to be able to perpetuate that deception on you, okay?
We have another caller. Would you like to take that?
Sure.
Okay. Area code 417, welcome to the program. Did you have a question?
Actually, I have a comment. I was calling back again. I wanted to make a comment on the people in the chat room, you know, wondering if this experience is real or delusion. Having had the experiences personally, myself, I honestly do believe that it is a delusion, and I can say that because I used to practice out of body experiences, and in one particular experience that I had, I was doing the out of body thing, and I was laying on my couch in my living room, and as I progressed and was able to take my spirit out of my body, I was flying. I was flying over and under an irrigation system, and as I was doing this, I thought it was really cool, you know. But as I was doing that, my husband came home. And when he turned the knob on the door, the front door, to open it to come in, my astral body came up through an irrigation pipe. And when it did, it was like my head hit that pipe. So when he actually opened the door to come into the room, I turned over on my couch and sat up, and when I did, I had an actual goose egg knot come up on my forehead. I never left my living room, but I had that goose egg knot on my forehead. And my husband saw it. He asked me what happened, and I had to tell him, you know, I was having this out-of-body experience, and this happened to me. So, you know, having had these experiences and after all of these years looking back and thinking about all of these things, thinking, is it real or is it not? Did I really go? Did I not go? And just, I mean, there's like so many, I couldn't get into possibly all of them, but do you know what I'm saying? These things are so spiritually, they are so real. Like I can remember holding one of these beings' hands and feel the cold and the clammy, and it looked like elephant skin, but it was so soft, you know? Those experiences are so real, but it's because you're in your spiritual body. And how do we actually know, as living physical human beings, you know, how do we know what is truly out there in that spiritual? How do you know how it actually affects your human body? I have had so many of these experiences and look back on so many of these things that I know. And I understand that there are some people out there who are going, no, you're actually taken, but no, you're not. I mean, I personally, no, you're not, because I know. And I guess that's the best I can tell you is I know. You know, can I prove it? How do you
But your
prove
family,
it?
Joyce, your family's been abducted several times, right? It's not just a one-time assessment that
no,
you've
made.
No,
it's not just a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. It's been many, many times over my lifetime since I was in second grade. You know, so I've had many, many of them. And so I look back now, not having them anymore, because I know how to stop that, and I have stopped that. I don't have those again. But, I have times where I sit around and I think back over my life. I'm sure that all of us do. You know, and you think back over time in your life. Well, I think back over these times in my life, and I look at these things, and I never left. It's like having the experience of my husband and I in bed, and they come to the window, and he tells me I'm supposed to lay down and go to sleep, and I'm just like, you know, not listening to him. And they come in, and they use this little glass rod on my husband and make him go flat down on the bed, and the next thing I know, I'm on supposedly on some sort of ship or whatever. But I never left my bed. I never left. Do you see?
So it's your spirit.
It's your spirit. It's your spirit. It's just like these people who, and I did it, you know. I mean, I did the out of body, the astral projection, whatever you want to call it. You know, I did that. I was able to do that. And it really bothers me that I hear some of these other people, and I know of several people who say, oh, well, I practice this all the time, and I constantly warn them, you know, you really shouldn't do this. You can hurt yourself. And they're going, well, I've never hurt myself whenever I've done that. Well, you know what? I have, because I did it. And it wasn't just me that, you know, experienced it. I mean, my husband saw it. You know, so we are spiritual beings. We just happen to be in, you know, physical bodies right now. And so it's just like I just want to scream out to these people and say, you know, listen, but I can't, you know. So I don't know if I'm making sense right now. I just want to, you know.
Well, you are, Joyce, and I think the worst danger isn't, you know, if you hurt your physical body, but you're opening the door to experiences
right.
with fallen angels. And, you know, the Bible says don't worry so much about what can hurt the body. It's what can hurt you in soul and spirit. And we don't need any more open doors to fallen angels. We want to open our doors to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Father God, you know. And so be careful what you're playing with is what I would tell people, because
I don't play with any of that stuff. Mm-mm, no. I totally understand what all of that stuff is now, and I will not go there, and I discourage anyone who wants to try to do such things. You know, it's just like, no. You know, people just, I guess I just wanted to try and get across, you know, where people were trying to realize if it was a delusion or if it was really physical.
Mm-hmm.
But your spirit... Actually, I mean, your spirit is connected with your physical body, so whatever happens in your spiritual self will manifest on your physical body.
Very good point. Very good point, Joyce. That was very well put. And these entities will allow that physical manifestation to perpetuate the delusion. You know, Joyce called me one evening when she was here in Florida, when I was working with her. She was a brand new believer, and these entities were still trying to, you know, deceive her as a new believer. And I went over to see her, and she had these actual finger marks on her thigh and on her arm from an experience that she recalled having the evening before. So there, I actually got to see and photograph a physical manifestation of finger marks from where they held her during the experience. Now, did they physically hold her? We can't prove that, but my odds are that they didn't, you know. And they will perpetuate these physical manifestations, this physical evidence, to help promotes the delusion. Keep in mind, I always bring it back to the very basic foundation scripture. There will be a strong delusion, and that's what this is, deception and illusion. Don't give these entities any more power than what they already possess. And the Holy Spirit will show you when you have been deceived on this and will show you what this experience actually is. Don't just claim the idea that I know what I experienced. Well, we don't know what we experienced. The mind can create all sorts of things. We've seen this through studies in psychology, you know, where people come in for whatever ailments to a psychologist, and the psychologist starts going back and suggesting things that might have happened in their childhood that probably really didn't happen in their childhood, but our memory automatically builds the story around it and claims it. And, you know, there was a fascinating movie that was out just this year that gave a prime example of that, and that was called Inception. And that was a fascinating movie that just alerted me to understanding. I said, you know, that's what this experience is. These entities are planting a seed of a memory that our minds will go ahead and build around. And what these entities need to do is convince us that it's our thought, not theirs. And that's exactly what that movie was about. And we're seeing this happen over and over. You watch the way that hypnotherapists work, or people that do, you know, stage hypnotic regression, hypnotic stuff. You'll see that they plan a suggestion and put people in a trance, plan a suggestion, and when they come out of the trance, they own the experience. They can't even understand that it wasn't real. But yet the whole audience is sitting there going, ha, 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 we know it's not real because the guy put the subject to you and you accepted it. You know, this is how this experience works, you know. And so many people are grabbing on to the craziest stuff out there without evidence of what they're really talking about. You know, the secular realm is doing that. Let them do that. But as believers, we have to understand that don't give the enemy a foothold. You know, there's a lot of talk out there that this whole thing is about raising a hybrid entity, you know, for the end times. There's no evidence of that. People say that, well, I can show you in Scripture that this is real, that there are real hybrids being, Nephilim being formed today from this UFO experience. I don't care what you show me on personal interpretation of Scripture, there's no evidence of hybridization. You know, this is an illusion that these entities have put upon us. And keep in mind, it's as simple as this. If you take a woman, and Joyce experienced this, they gave Joyce the idea that they impregnated her, and then they came and took the baby, and then later they showed her this baby, okay? And she never accepted it as being hers, which was very good, because otherwise they would have had control of her. Because think of this for a moment, how simple this is. These entities know how a maternal instinct works. And if you can convince a woman that she's had a child by these entities, they're going to fall for that, and they're going to want to feel love for that entity no matter what, okay? And that is how they're hooking the women in this experience. Does it actually have to happen? No, it doesn't. This is a control factor that they're using. This is a form of control, of mind control, that they're using to keep these women captive and keep them in bondage through the experience of the deception.
Hey, Joe, we've got a caller on hold from Canada. Do we have time for one more?
Sure.
Okay. I'm just going to squeeze her in here. Let's see. Area code 613, are you our caller from Canada?
I sure am. God bless you.
Welcome to the program. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have a comment. I have been speaking with Joe Jordan recently. Joe, this is Mary.
How are you, Mary?
Oh, I'm absolutely wonderful. Thank you. Thank you to you for helping me. I'm calling in because I was listening to all of the things being said, and I wanted to call in to say that everything Joe is talking about is true. I'm a testimonial. I haven't finished writing it out for him to post on his website, but what he is talking about is true. The ships and everything up in the sky is a delusion. I was under the impression I had seen hundreds of UFOs. And before I was born again, I was involved with a UFO cult and had all kinds of inside information that a lot of people just don't have. And it's all lies. It's all delusion. It is of Satan. I don't know how he does it. But the moment I decided I did not believe in UFOs, the delusion disappeared, as well as whenever I was attacked when I had seen UFOs, all I had to do was speak Jesus' name and they were gone. And in speaking with Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in my life, I denounced, I rebuked all involvement with UFOs. I no longer believe they exist. They are a figment of the enemy. It's all delusion.
I have one more
Very
question.
Powerful,
I don't
Mary.
Know who wants to take it, but Mary made me think of this question because I know people that listen to this interview, Joe, they're going to say, what about these mile-wide UFOs that appear over Shanghai, you know, twice in the last 6 weeks, and the one in the UK? What about those? Is that a delusion that the whole city saw, or how do you classify that?
Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay. For me, I was at church this summer in Greenville, Illinois, and the pastor was talking about scripture in Acts where Paul was, the disciples had brought a demon, or a person to Jesus saying, Jesus, Jesus, we can't cast the demon out of this person. And Jesus says, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have my Bible in front of me. Jesus says, why? What is wrong? You don't believe? And something about some demons can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. And as Christians, when we pray, we are to believe that God hears our prayers and that they are answered. Jesus told us that. He said, ask and ye shall receive. So if you believe in UFOs, you are going to see UFOs. If you're not sure UFOs exist or not, but you have a curiosity, you are opening gates for the enemy to enter in, and they will take advantage. So people who are curious, people who do believe in UFOs, they will appear and you will see them. People that don't believe won't see them. That's my answer to the mile-wide ships up in the air and various people. Some see them, some don't. Some believe, some don't.
Very good answer, Mary. And you brought a couple points up there. You know, what we're seeing here are the lying signs and wonders that are prophesied for a time that
Amen.
People would encounter. And I do believe that that's what we're seeing. And these beings will do whatever it takes to make them be believed, okay? Did these people actually see a mile-wide physical craft? I do believe they did not, okay? What I believe they saw was a projection, you know, of something that these entities are able to perform, okay? Because there are no physical crafts that are hiding somewhere. Okay, it's just ridiculous when you think of this in logical terms. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of sightings every year, year after year after year after year. Excuse me, this really doesn't make any sense. Where would all these craft be hiding? Where would all these crafts go? And then when you get into the hybridization program, if as many people have had hybrid children, you know, as what's been so-called reported over the past, you know, five decades, or even longer through history, we'd have millions and millions and millions of them walking on this planet today, and we don't have evidence of even one. You know, so you got to put this in logical perspective, and that's the way I have to work as an investigator. I don't work with speculation. I don't work with assumptions. I don't work with personal, you know, scripture interpretations. I work with what we have. And don't give the enemy any more than what we have, okay? Because that puts us in a state of fear. That puts us in a state of bondage. And you are not free from their control until you are able to understand that this is a strong delusion. And the purpose is to break your mind away from the one true God. And my focus is to help these people get back into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, and break free from all of this craziness that the secular world was involved with. We shouldn't be involved with all of this as believers. Sure.
In prayer earlier this evening and speaking with Father God, he gave me something I think is brilliant. He's always so wise. He always knows. When non-believers ask us to prove if there is a God, we cannot. God has to call non-believers, and he has to open their eyes and open their ears. For me, it's the same thing with the delusion. Unless we are true in our heart and very right with God and rebuke and renounce all of Satan's ways, this is the last vestige for me. God opened my eyes fully. He removed the scales from my eyes. And I do believe that this is how he separates the sheep from the goats. Those who want to see the delusion and believe in the lie, those are the elect that are deceived.
Asking how many Christians.
I can't hear anything. Am I gone?
I don't know. Maybe accidentally hit a mute button, but all the Christians that took my poll still disagreed with the Christian researchers and said they're ET, so that shows you how strong this delusion is. People believe the media instead of the Christian researchers.
Wow. Well, we have to pray pray for God to open their eyes because I'm a testimony. I feel so clean now. For the first time, I am free.
And that is the evidence that we want to share. That is the evidence that I've been working with for going on 14 years now, the most powerful evidence in the world today for what this experience is. And that's the evidence of people's lives being changed through calling on the name and authority of Jesus Christ and building a personal relationship with him. Because these entities come to make a relationship against your will. But Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. He wants you to make a relationship with him. And you have to choose a side. This is a cosmic war, like I said earlier. Your soul is the prize. Before you leave this show tonight, whose side do you choose? It's very important that you make a decision.
Amen.
Amen.
And for those of you that don't understand the gravity of this, a lot of the work that I do is with people that have either been in some kind of ritual abuse, satanic ritual abuse. They've spent a lifetime serving fallen angels. And if any of them wanted to become public, you know, they would be on this program tonight. I know they're listening, but they would be saying, you think you don't want demons? We're talking fallen angels here. Don't welcome these guys. Don't look for them. Don't be enamored with them or entertained by them. Focus on Jesus, and if you have any idea that a fallen angel is approaching you, cry out the name of Jesus and watch him disappear.
Oh, amen, sister.
Joe, would you like to pray for our listeners, minister to them, because I think some of them probably need ministry about this time.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to bring the truth to this show for these listeners at this point in time. And for those listeners that will be listening to this show archived, I hope that these words that we've spoken tonight and have shared through us from the Holy Spirit have been able to touch your heart and help you understand and open your eyes and your ears to what the truth is about this phenomenon. if you are involved in this phenomenon, we ask that you truly seek Jesus Christ and his personal relationship to be able to answer your questions. Jeremiah 33:3 says that for those questions that we have, come to God for those answers. Don't come to other men. Don't trust man. Trust God himself. He will provide those answers for you. And test him, and you'll see. And he'll open your eyes and open your ears. And I hope that I've been able to share the evidence, the only powerful evidence in the world today that shows what these entities really are. Not fuzzy pictures, not fuzzy videos, not suppositions, accusations, or assumptions, or personal interpretation, but true living testimony of people's lives that have been brought back to reality and brought back peace and harmony through a relationship with Jesus Christ and being set free from this delusion. We ask that these people that are listening tonight have this opportunity to make an honest decision now. Those that have been searching and listening to the secular wisdom on all of this and their knowledge on their research now can look at both sides of the UFO coin and make an honest, open decision on what is actually happening. Now that this piece of the puzzle has been actually brought to the table, they can see the picture for what it truly is. And Heavenly Father, give them the courage to question. Give them the courage to seek your advice. And give them the courage to contact us if they need help. We're there for them. And that is what we ask of you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. So be it.
Father, we just thank you that you give us true discernment, that we have the mind of Christ. We can believe for words of knowledge and words of wisdom, and we can have that Issachar anointing to discern the times and the seasons. We thank you that we're alive today as this.
We thank you
that you haven't called us just to be passive, to fall for every delusion that comes along. We are receiving, even tonight, your compassion for the people around us that are falling for this delusion and many others, people that will just believe anything that they're told. And I thank you, Lord, that we have your Holy Spirit, if we're believers, born again, and that we can know. And so now that we have been given your word tonight, we've been told that in the last days there'll be doctrines of devils. We know that it's always been the fallen angels' agenda to compete with God, that when Satan fell, he took a third of the fallen angels with him, and that we will be those that can discern between good and evil. We'll exercise our discernment by constant use, as Hebrews says, but most of all, that we'll be expressions of your heart, that we will be your love to others, and instead of just laughing at people or making jokes, that we'll be able to share the gospel with them and let them know that Father God is our creator, that we don't need any delusion of aliens who say they're our creators, they seeded our planet, that we owe everything to them, that they're going to rapture us. We know that the fallen angels are working toward a one world order, that they want us to be afraid. They want us to want an antichrist to pull all of us together. They want all kinds of things, but anything but Jesus. Anything but Jesus. And I just pray that we'll receive your compassion for others tonight. And be prepared that we'll study the word, and be prepared that we'll be the knowledgeable ones, that they won't have to run to the New Age, the humanists, the agnostics, the Raelian religions, the ufologists, or whoever. They won't have to run to all these secular or pagan sources to be heard, that Christians will hear them and they will point them to the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. And I want to encourage you to go to our website, and that's not only Crosswalk Life at CWLINC.com, and listen to the archives there. You know, we had Pastor Chris Ward on last week, as well as Joe Jordan called in. We were so honored to have both of them. We've also had Randy DeMaine on the Nephilim, if you're not quite sure what that comment was about, on the Nephilim. And we're going to be having even more interviews that relate to these end time issues. And I just wanted to make you aware that
Please look at our archives as well as what's coming up. I can't get it to come up right now, right quick. But we want you to be informed. We don't want Christians to be the last to know anymore. We not only don't want to be deluded ourselves, but we want to be able to give an answer for our faith and to let people know what God is doing, how this relates to prophecy. One of the interviews that we've got coming up is with L.A. Marzulli, who's going to be sharing more with us about how all this relates, you know, with prophecy, what's in the Bible, what's not, that kind of thing. And he's going to be sharing more about the coming great deception, the Luciferian endgame, because Lucifer hasn't changed. He's still competing with God for some reason. He still thinks he can win. That'll be next week. And then the next week we'll have Gary and Rhonda from the Lily Band Psalmist, because, of course, worship and focusing on Jesus is always the way to go. But at the end of the month, we're going to have Tom Horn from Raiders News Network talking about the coming human enhancement revolution and what is that about. So I just want to encourage you. How about give them your website and contact information, Joe, because there are probably some people that will want to send you questions and have some personal questions that they didn't want to ask on the air.
Sure. The website itself, again, is www.ce4research.com. And my contact information that's on there, you can go to the email that's on the contact page, and it's stopalienabduction@gmail.com. And then you can also reach me on my Skype. I actually have a Skype phone number, and the area code is 321-593-0959. And again, it's a Skype number, so it goes through my computer. I check the voicemails when I get home from work every day. So if you call during the day or if I'm not on the computer, it's got voicemail. Just leave a message and I'll get back with you. And we work with people, you know, all over the world, and we're working with a number of people at one time, at any time. And another website that a group that I work with is Guy and Nicole Malone through alienresistance.org. And there's a wealth of information on there. I've been the investigative arm of Alien Resistance for 10 years now with Guy. And this is what we do as a ministry. We hope to be able to change the course of this history of the UFO phenomenon, and by getting the truth out there and showing the evidence for what it truly is.
Hallelujah. I got all kinds of good comments in the chat room, Joe. People really do want to know. Not everybody's got their head in the sand. They don't want to be the last to know. They want to know. If it's the devil, tell us, you know. It's well, we've told you tonight. Learn to discern. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Listen up. And if you want to see those 50 points that these researchers put together, I put them in lay language, made it so all the answers are yes, and put them on our website, and they're on Facebook, or at least there's a link to it on Facebook, I believe, so that you can see, you know, when Joe Jordan is asked to speak at these symposiums and all, it's because he really knows what he's talking about. As you can see, he goes by hard evidence, not by an emotional or even a religious predisposition. So we just thank you, Joe, for being with us. And if some of you are saying, man, I'm nowhere near ready to stand up to a demon, much less a devil, and you would like Restoration Prayer Ministry, I just want to encourage you to call us. Our office number is 724-206-0530, 724-206-0530. And we not only help people get rid of all the blocks in their life through a minimum of 6 3-hour appointments, but we also work with people that are survivors of either abduction or repeated abuse or even satanic ritual abuse. And we know we're learning. God's really training us not only how to cast out demons, but we're standing up to these devils. Hallelujah. Anything else, Joe, before we end our program with some worship?
No, I think it's been an awesome show, and I thank you for the opportunity to share this message with your listeners. You know, and the more opportunity we get like this, the more that people are going to have the ability to make an honest choice of what's actually happening out there. We need to see both sides of the coin. And I thank you for letting us show that other side that most people aren't aware of, and to be able to see the real evidence for what this really is. And I thank you for that.
Amen. I'm glad to have this opportunity that we all do to speak out on media now and to use it to glorify God and to spread the truth. And so I just encourage you all to give us that prayer support too. One reason that I invited Joe Jordan is because he and Pastor Chris that was on before, they take time to pray with people and to minister to them. They're not just gathering a bunch of facts and then leaving them standing there wondering what the answers are. I'm just so blessed by that, Joe. And I want to encourage you all that are really interested in this subject, if you want to order the DVDs from when Joe was a speaker with the First Christian Symposium in Roswell, New Mexico, they're only $30 to get the whole thing. So it's quite a few hours. I forget if it was 15 or 20, but it's you get your money's worth.
Yep.
And you can hear
that
one,
that one's expensive. That was an expensive conference.
You can hear what each researcher says, and they don't all agree on exactly every point. But one thing we know for sure is the devil is behind this. He's still competing with God. Nothing has changed. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And for those of you that would just like to enter into worship with us a few minutes, we're going to be ending again with Vicky Yohe. Uh-oh. I just lost my switchboard. I am so sorry. I've got one of those white screens that says sorry, but our servers have lost you. Whoops. I don't know any way out of this, but just to tell you the truth, I've lost the switchboard, trying to get it back right quick so that we can end with some worship. We can just say, praise you, Father. Praise you, Father, that if you say we want to know the truth, we will know it. Amen.
Amen.
We will know it. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you, you all that have the courage, to believe what the Word says, that in the end times that we are to be great witnesses and that signs and wonders do follow those that believe. And don't automatically assume, well, God couldn't pray for these people through me. You know, people just want to be heard. They want someone to pray with them. And you know, a lot of you know the basics. You know that we are all called to pray for healing and deliverance. And when it comes to fallen angels, you know, we've got that example in the Bible where, you know, he was saying, the Lord rebuke you. So we don't go out and we don't, I just want to add that, we don't sass fallen angels. So don't get on your high horse. I mean, I laugh at little demons sometimes when I'm casting them out. This is different. You can say, the Lord rebuke you, or you can call out in the name of Jesus, and that always works, because every knee has to bow at the name of Jesus. And it's not even about how perfectly behaved I am. It's because Jesus is perfect, and he is Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings. This is not taking him by surprise. And I just want to encourage you, if you don't know who Jesus is, if you're not sure that he's God and Lord of Lords, go to our website at www.cwlinc.com and look in that left side menu. You'll see lots of articles about who Jesus is, why he came, why he died, why we need him, and you can find out for yourself what the Word says. If he really did fulfill the prophecies, and if he really is who he claimed to be, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, and your Savior, you don't need aliens to fill that spot. It's taken. Have a good night, and please join us next week for more Crosswalk Talk.
Every day I just